When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Listen up, it's Nick and Sam, taking you to Jungle Land. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roaring every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle Juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Jungle Juice podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, I know it is a very big day in the Nelson household.
Oh, wow. You really? I thought you forgot.
What kind of person would I be if I would have forgotten? I had to wait until we started off with a bang.
Yeah.
Do you want to take it over as to what today is?
So today's mine and my wife's Sam. Her name is also Sam. Our 3-year anniversary. It's been a great time. Love my wife. She's a great person. And I don't know. I don't get very sentimental when I talk. But it's been a good 3 years. It's been a really good 3 years. So, you know, can't imagine doing life with anybody else. Also, she lets me get season tickets every year. So.
She supports a lot of your hijinks.
She's turned into a huge Bengals fan over the past 3 years. That's huge, right? You know, that's something. Yeah. Also, Sam Gormley was my best man. I don't know if you guys know this, but you know, a lot of our listeners don't know our past. Sam, you know, we've been best friends since like first grade. So yeah, you were the best man at my wedding. That was at our wedding, mine and Sam's wedding.
And, 5 years ago, or 5 years ago, 3 years ago, the time flies when you're having fun, right? It was fun when I popped up onto my, you know, you get your time hop every single day and it popped up and said, you know, got to go through some of the pictures that I'd taken from that day. And it was a good ceremony and congratulations on 3 years. And hopefully you've got at least another, what I'm trying to think on your lifespan, what 50 for you? 50 years.
I don't know. Given my health decisions,
I was trying to take the optimistic route.
I think my over under might be at 40. 40 more years.
Well, that at least gets you almost 70.
It'll get me to the time that I'm about to retire, and then I'll like be on a golf course or something like a week into retiring, and then you know, that's
and our podcast, poor listeners, there in 60 or 40 years will be crushed by that point. Thank everyone for tuning in though today. Hunter asks really quick off the bat, Mick, Jalen Waddle or George Pickens on flex?
Oh, dude, I'm excited. So I'm a Jalen Waddle fantasy owner in two leagues. I drafted him, I think, in the second round of both leagues, and he hasn't done jack. He hasn't done jack for me. He hasn't done much. And now the two is back, probably against a really bad Cardinals defense. Who are the Steelers playing this week? The Giants?
Yes, on Monday night.
Ooh. George Pickens isn't going to have two great games in a row. Go with Jalen Waddle in this one.
I can't answer this question because, Mick, I've been doing fantasy football now for probably close to 15 years, maybe not quite that long, 10 to 15 years, something like that. And in those years, I have never, not once, had a Pittsburgh Steeler on my team because I refuse to have any semblance of money or anything connected towards potentially cheering for them or them to successfully have any semblance of success in me winning my fantasy league.
See, so. I only have one player that I will refuse to draft, and I think he's been blackballed in like all of my leagues except for maybe a couple.
And something tells me he's going on injured reserve this week.
Might be the guy that we took out on Sunday. Might be the guy we took out that day.
Or the turf. And then Chase Brown or Zach Moss. If we're talking fantasy-wise, I think Chase Brown's your best long-term bat.
Might be the guy we took out.
Who took him out? He took himself out. That was a non-contact.
Yeah, the turf took him out.
That turf looked kind of weird.
Or it's grass. I mean, it wasn't turf. It was grass.
Is it grass? Okay, I thought the cuts on it looked kind of weird. I was like, is that turf? Is that grass? I didn't know what it was. But
yes, it was. It was grass. Coming up on the show today.
That's on grass. That's crazy.
Yeah, it happens. Coming up on the show today, we're going to recap that win against the Browns, what we liked, what we didn't like. And then we move forward towards a very interesting game against the Eagles on Sunday. And it's one of those that even now, after it's 1 week later, Mick, I can't believe that the NFL flexed this game out, because to me, it's just it's a really, really interesting matchup. Now, I get that the Bengals, you know, at that point, it had two wins. The Eagles, you didn't really know what you were going to get with them. I'm just surprised that game, and we'll talk more about it later, but I just can't believe that they flexed that game.
Brady's still doing with this one, or is it a different?
No, it's a CBS Brady game. It's a CBS. It is. It's always actually been a CBS game. So it's never.
And Kevin Harlan and Charles Davis.
You're 50% correct.
Kevin Harlan. Oh, Charles Davis and
who's his partner? Come on, you're talking to the broadcaster here.
Oh, Bird. God. Nobody remembers the play-by-play guy.
The Bird. Ian Eagle.
Oh, I do like that. He's going to be on the call. Good guy.
Ian Eagle. So this is CBS's number two crew. We'll talk more about that later on. A couple of the Bengals news, though, to hit. Welcome to the Cincinnati Bengals, Andrew Coker. He was signed to the practice squad. This is insurance for the Orlando Brown injury that happened, which we'll talk a little bit more about later on in the show. Signed to the practice squad, four-year starter at tackle at TCU. He has left-side experience, right-side experience. The numbers, PFF-wise, aren't necessarily great, which is probably part of the reason why he was a undrafted free agent at tackle. This is strictly insurance, and the hope is that Andrew Coker never even sees the active roster, let alone the field for the Cincinnati Bengals.
If we were going to go after former Raiders, we should have gone after the guy the Bengals fans wanted. Hopefully Alex Schubert sees this, you know, Mr. Leatherwood.
I thought you were going to say Illuminor or whatever his name is.
Oh, no. Bengals fans really, really wanted Alex Leatherwood when whatever draft that was. Is he even, I guess that's 21.
He's not even in the league anymore, is he?
I don't think he is. That's why.
He's with the Chargers. Interesting. Really? Yeah. According to Wikipedia, and I mean, listen, Wikipedia it's got to be factual. He's on their practice squad. So, it's got to be the absolute truth there. Also news, Willie Anderson is in the top 50 for the class of 2025 for the Hall of Fame, and Ken Anderson moved to the next round of the Veterans Committee. Both of those people absolutely should be into the Hall of Fame, and maybe we need at least one Bengal in the Hall of Fame this year, Mick. Hopefully we'll get two.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm surprised. Is Boomer not a eligible for the senior circuit yet?
No, I don't. Well, yes, he was, but he didn't make the next cut. He did not make the next cut.
I feel like him and Kenny Anderson have like very similar resumes. Like both won an MVP, both took the team to the Super Bowl. I think they have like equal amount of Pro Bowls. I know Pro Bowls aren't like that huge, but also Boomer had a couple of dud seasons in there as well. I
think Ken Anderson was a little bit more consistent, which is probably part of the reason as to why he's getting it. Bengals won their second straight game on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. 21-14 was the final score. A score that it wasn't that close. The Browns kind of scored a garbage time touchdown at the end. It really felt good that from about halfway through the third quarter until the end of the game, that I didn't get any more gray hairs. Like, it was kind of nice just to be able to enjoy the game.
Some gray hairs, like, towards the end.
A little bit at the very end, but I think as a whole.
I'll tell you what, if Mike Gesicki did not catch that onside kick, I don't know why he even went for that right away, because I don't even think that ball made it. Maybe
it did not go 10 yards down the field.
Like, and he was just going for it. I was like, dude, if you miss that, and they recover it, I would be so pissed off right now. So I'm glad he came down with that at least.
Yeah, no question there. What do we like? And I think we got to start off with the first 12 seconds of the game. I think it was 12 seconds. Bengals get the kickoff return, first one since 2020 with Brandon Wilson and Charlie Jones. I liked the switch that the Bengals made, and I know they kind of gave credit, Darren Simmons took it, of they noticed something on film from the Browns, but their two returners back there, and I didn't even process it when it had happened, were Charlie Jones and Drew Sample. And I'm sure that if we would have immediately seen, and if we were at the game, Mick, and we would have seen on the field Drew Sample go back to return the kick, we probably would have been like, what? What do we got going on here? But yeah, he had the first block that really broke it.
Yeah. That's a nice little scheme drawn up by Darren Simmons. I almost forgot Darren Simmons' name there. But yeah, it was a really good schemed up kick return. Chuck Sizzle capitalized on that with the touchdown. It was a great way to start the game, and we might be talking about an entirely different game if that touchdown did not happen. So great play, great design from Darren Simmons.
To me, one of the biggest takeaways about this, and I kind of wanted to start with the defense today on this, is they did what they were supposed to do to a bad offense.
Yeah.
And even more so, they did what they were supposed to do to a bad offense with a quarterback who was, I mean, DTR, I think, was on their practice squad, and they elevated him for that. I don't know why they didn't go to Jameis right away.
I was very surprised when I saw DTR coming out there. DTR he's got no pocket presence. He's also just incredibly small. He's like Bryce Young size, I think, maybe a tad bit taller. But yeah, I mean, the defense did what they needed to do when DTR was on the field.
He's 6'2". Yeah.
He looks a lot smaller than 6'2". I don't know. Maybe he's just skinny. But I don't know. The defense didn't necessarily do what it needed to do when Deshaun was on the field. I know that they technically did not give up any points, but Deshaun was still like, I don't know, 15 to 17 with 128 yards, something like that. I just made up those numbers, but I think those were...
It was a lot of check downs and so on, because even as Adam Archuleta, the color analyst, was making up, is that Deshaun Watson was not wanting to go down the field at all because it was open at times.
Well, who is he going to go down the field with, though? Like, I mean, Jerry Jeudy?
Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore? Like, your only good receiver is Njoku right now. Uh-huh. I mean, that's a great touchdown by Njoku. I don't know how the hell he caught that.
Oh, yeah, that was a great play. Great play.
But yeah, defense did what it needed to do. If we're talking about good things, Trey Hendrickson, I think, is, I mean, we said he was back after the Giants game, but he looked officially back against the Browns, because the Browns don't have as good of an offensive tackle in Jedrick Wills as Andrew Thomas is for the New York Giants. But Trey Hendrickson was really good. 81 pass rush grade, 28% pass rush win rate, 2 sacks, 2 QB hits, 5 pressures. One of those sacks came on a third down to force a punt early in the game. And then he also had a very hilarious moment in the fourth
praying
quarter.
Thing.
Well, yeah, he pretty much lays out DTR on a QB hit, right? And I think that all of us, including him, thought, because he was like, he was trying to like hold his arms back while just freaking plowing DTR. And then he just sees the flag go down. He's like, oh, man, that's a roughing the passer.
And it just starts praying there.
It didn't end up being a roughing the passer.
It was grounding, which was the right call, and illegal touching, which was the right call, too, because the left tackle tried to catch it. Or it wasn't the left tackle. I think it was the left guard. Tried to turn around and catch it, which is a little touching.
Batonio's left.
I don't even remember which one it was. One of their, because it wasn't Wills. It was someone else that tried to catch it with it.
But it was, I just thought it was a really hilarious sequence there. It was like, God darn.
when do we start having the realistic conversation, though, about Trey Hendrickson for Defensive Player of the Year?
No. Not yet. if he strings together games like these, it's great. But because he was hurt from, he was kind of playing hurt, I think, between the Commanders and the Ravens game, that is just, it really hampered his production while he was on the field. So I still wouldn't put him in defensive player of the year category, but if he keeps playing like he did on Sunday, I think an argument, you know, stands to be made.
I do see here one question. I want to go to it before we continue on. Steve writes in and he says, we need to go after Myles Garrett or Crosby. And Josh follows up with saying, both are unrealistic. Let's go for Chase Young.
Chase Young and, is a good idea.
Yeah, that's realistic.
Seventh, I don't know. Future seventh is...
would get that, but maybe a fifth?
Yeah, sixth? I think a fourth or a fifth, maybe.
But if you... The real reason why Max Crosby and Myles Garrett are unrealistic is cap space-wise. Because, I mean, if the Bengals get Max Crosby right now, they would have to clear, I think it's something like $5 or $6 million in cap space right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And who are you getting rid of for that you can actually afford to get rid of? I mean, I know people say, okay, get rid of Sam Hubbard. But you're not doing that in the middle of a season. I just, to say that there is 0% chance that the Bengals are going to be getting Max Crosby is probably the largest understatement.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's more based on, it's just financially is it's just impossible to have happen. A couple of the other things that I liked on the offensive side of the ball, Ted Karras had a pretty good game.
He had a really good game.
No pressures. 29 snaps and pass rushing. The rest of the offensive line, I think, is an interesting discussion because they were put into a tough situation when they lose. We can say this, Mick, their best offensive lineman. I mean, he's been playing like their best offensive lineman, Orlando Brown Jr., early on in the game. And then they put in Cody Ford.
Who? I don't know what Riley was seeing there when he said Cody Ford had a good game. Now, was he matched up against Myles Garrett
the whole game? Not the entire game. Garrett did move around a little bit because there was one. I know that Joe Goodberry put out a film sequence of Myles Garrett going up against Amarius Mims, and Mims did a really good job in just fending him off as much as possible. Because, I mean, really, for the most part, that would be a like from this is really Myles Garrett was a non-factor the entire game.
Justice for TT. I agree. But yeah,
I think they did
a pretty good job. Yeah, same.
You have to say that because it's your anniversary today, so I know you have to say that to make sure you get brownie points, extra brownie points on the anniversary. So being on her side.
But yeah, I think Amarius Mims wasn't terrible in this game. He wasn't great. I mean, 53 pass block grade isn't a great grade, but he only gave up one pressure on 29 pass blocking snaps. So I thought he was okay. He was good enough to get the job done. Alex Kappa, I don't know what's going on with him. This is the third week in a row that he hasn't played very well at all. I don't know if he's playing hurt. It's just not showing up on the injury report or if he's just going through a funk right now. But it's not been a great stretch for him. Gave up 4 pressures and 2 sacks in the game. That was a down spot. Cody Ford was pretty bad in his snaps as well.
Cody Ford's defense, not that I'm really wanting to come to his defense, is that he is not a left tackle by any stretch.
No.
So you're putting somebody, and that is a huge weakness, is that, you know, the thought was, is if this would have happened week 2, you would have seen Trent Brown, well, I guess Mims would have still been hurt there, but let's just say Mims and Brown were still there. You would have seen Brown move over to the left side, Mims go in at right tackle. That's what you would have seen. But without that there, they don't have any other options. And I'd
almost even consider bringing Andrew Stuber out there to see what he can do at the left tackle position.
And he was inactive. He was inactive on Sunday. So that kind of came back and bit him. Do you have the PFF numbers in front of you? Cedric wants to know what the numbers were on Volson.
Yeah, I can pull them up. From what I remember, they weren't too bad at all. I think let me pull up.
And he gets penalized for a hold. And for those listening, I am using air quotations. That he got called for the second straight week where he gets called for a hold. Hold. He held, Nick. Holding.
Oh, gonna mark that explicit. All right, schedule Browns game.
The other aspect that I did want to talk about too, while you're pulling that up, Mick, is I liked the first two drives after the half from the offense. The offense needed an answer. They had a not good first half, but they came out and they did exactly what they needed to do. They got two touchdowns on, and from that point, you could pretty much, for the most part, just coast.
It was like a classic Zach Taylor like type of game where the offense couldn't get anything going in the first half, and then the second half you made your adjustments, were able to get the ball down the field, score a couple touchdowns. Now, one thing, they did not capitalize on the Sam Hubbard interception in the fourth quarter, which they really needed to do. You were in field goal range or fringe field goal range when that happened, and then you just didn't move the ball at all. Gave up a sack, I think, to end that drive, and you ended up having to punt, which is you got to capitalize on things like that. But yeah, I thought the response in the second half was good. I think Burrow played okay in this game. It wasn't his greatest game by any stretch, but it wasn't terrible. 15-25, 181 yards. Had a big-time throw. I wasn't sure which one it was. I'm assuming it's the Ja'Marr Chase back shoulder throw in the end zone, which was a great throw by Burrow. Great adjustment by Chase on that play. Zero turnover-worthy plays for the second straight week in a row. That's huge. And I think the turnover battle really, really contributed to the win there.
Cordell Volson, too, graded 44-1, pass blocking 62-2, gave up a sack, a hurry, and two pressures. So
not terrible.
The Cordell Volson experience, pretty much, is what he did. He was pretty much his typical.
I think he's been, generally decent this year, other than the Chiefs game, which, like we said, he's going up against Chris Jones.
Yes, who makes a lot of people.
What else do you expect?
And it's tough to read into this as well, is because he had his left tackle of Cody Ford. Who knows how many times they work together on the left side of that offensive line? I mean, how often do you think in practice you have Cody Ford and Cordell Volson running the left side of an offensive line? Probably not often at all. So that communication probably wasn't as perfect, and that can probably hurt some of his aspects as well. So at least that's how I take it. How about some of the things that we didn't like, Mick? I want to take the first one here. And it was uncatchable. Uncatchable.
I've got two huge ref misses here. And that was first one.
Here's the thing with that uncatchable. Mick, why was it uncatchable? Because he was being interfered. Yes.
Like that ball wasn't that far down the field from where the interference happened.
Will Chase catch it if he wasn't held? Maybe not. Might have gone off his fingertips, but I guarantee he would have at least gotten his fingers on it. When do you ever see uncatchable actually called? I was just like, oh, Ronnie Torbert, what are we doing? What are we doing? Okay. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
I had another Breaking Bad meme for Ron Torbert in bad calls that I was going to give you, but I couldn't find a good meme with the caption on it. Mm-hmm. It's like that he can't keep getting away with this, that Jesse screams while he's pulling gasoline all over Walt's house. and that's what I feel about Ron Torbert just giving you BS calls. The other one, and I think Burrow was pretty pissed off.
One you're talking about.
The offsides on Cleveland where he snapped the ball, thought he had a free play, and they blew it dead. That sucked. I think Burrow was probably really pissed off at that. Now, they ended up having the touchdown to Ja'Marr on that drive, I believe. And, he ended up getting the touchdown anyways, so it's kind of a zero-sum game at that point. But, literally, that's a free play. That's something Burrow, thrives off of. And you're just, I don't know, you can't be blowing it. It wasn't an encroachment. You literally called an offsides.
Yes. Yeah, and it was obvious. And I know that they stopped the play there because they don't want that to turn into a Myles Garrett. I think it might have been Myles Garrett. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Myles Garrett. He's got a free run at Joe Burrow in that case. But I don't think it would have been a free run. I think he would have, I guess Cody Ford was in the way, so it pretty much would have been a free run. is there a difference? I don't know that there is. But still, it was doing that. The one I was going to mention as well is that it was a third down. I think it was in the first half. T. Higgins went over the middle. Burrow went to him, and Higgins had his arm held down.
Yes.
By the DB for the Browns.
No flag.
No flag on that one either. Now, they might have gotten a break on I'm glad that they didn't call the roughing the passer on Trey Hendrickson. We talked about that earlier. That's something the NFL is going to have to fix, is the roughing the passer call. Like, I get protecting the quarterback. I'm all for it. It should happen without question. But some of these, come on.
Yeah, come on. I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen it as bad this year as I've seen in previous years. I definitely thought a roughing call was coming for Trey there on that one play. But, yeah, I mean, it's just that's the beauty of the game, Sam. You just have a lot of these judgment calls that, you know, refs have to make. Some of them are really stupid. A lot of them are really stupid. But, you know, I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's really easy to pick out the stupid ones, right, when they happen. You don't hear anybody talk about, oh, yeah, well, they actually called that correctly. You know, it is what it is.
It's part of the business, though, isn't it?
Another thing I didn't like, run game was not good. Not good at all. I know Chase Brown had the 22-yard run. That looked really good, but that was half of his rushing yards, and he had 15 rushing attempts, had 44 yards, 2.2 yards after contact. Those are Joe Mixon yards after contact numbers, and that's not what we like to see. I do like that Chase Brown's kind of becoming the feature back in the backfield, but it just wasn't a great game for the run game as a whole. So, and then I know we had an even rushing attack with the passing attack, but that is heavily inflated by the fourth quarter. I think Joe Burrow threw the ball maybe three times in the fourth quarter, and he ran it like, I don't know, 12, you know, 10 to 12. So, I mean, I think that stat's a little misleading, that we didn't get the run game, or that it was an even game in terms of the schematics.
You look at the stats too. Another thing stands out for the offense is third down percentage. It was one of their worst games as far as third down percentage, but so much of that was based on the lack of success on the early downs.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't have the number, and I meant to look it up, and I just forgot to before the show, of the average distance on third down. Cause I would guess, what did they go 3 of 10 on third downs? Something. We'll just say that.
Sure. Close enough.
And of those seven misses, I would think probably 5 or 6 of them were third down and 7 or 8 or longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just not going to happen you're not going to have a high percentage of success rate against the Carolina Panthers defense, let alone the Browns defense, who is, you know, we can say what we want about their offense, but that defense is still a pretty decent defense. Yeah,
still a good defense.
And like Riley said, they were back to near 100% as well. I mean, Denzel Ward made some really nice plays. He made one on Yoshi and one on T, I think. Is that right? My memory?
Yeah.
T. Higgins and made some decent plays as well.
Where is Jermaine Burton going to, you know, learn this playbook? You know, you need another guy out there. Like, I've seen some posts in Houdet Nation. I don't know how serious they are about maybe trading for a guy that's a wide receiver. Like, I don't know, a Cooper Kupp, because the Rams season's pretty much over. And you definitely need a third guy. You really need a good slot guy again. Now, I do like that the touchdown T. Higgins had was in the slot. It was a really nice touchdown that he had there. He also had a really good game, T. Higgins did.
And I think it was in CBS's postgame show. I think Matt Ryan and I think it might have been Nate Burleson, who I think is really good.
Yeah.
He's starting to become
a multifaceted reporter.
Oh, yeah, because he's the host of CBS This Morning, every morning. So he's really, really good in that realm. But they had the conversation after the game where they mentioned putting T. Higgins in the slot should like be illegal, was pretty much what they were saying. Is like, because you're what outside corner is going to shift in. And I mean, it would be like T. Higgins going up against Mike Hilton. He's got a foot and a half on Mike Hilton, pretty much. I mean, not really, but for the most part. Or you're going to put him on a linebacker? Good luck. How many linebackers can cover T. Higgins? So I'm wondering if that might be something that we're going to see a little bit more of for that exact reason, because then you're playing T. Higgins almost as a tight end in that realm as far as...
You're giving him the Gesicki role, you know, essentially.
I've been interested. What's happened to Mike Gesicki?
he's Mike Gesicki. Like, I don't, I mean, just, you know, he's not that great. He's a decent tight end. I mean, he's definitely better than Irv Smith. We had one really good game out of Mike Gesicki, which is nice, but
I'm glad you're giving him the honor of better than Irv Smith.
Also, I don't know if we really foresaw, or even the coaching staff foresaw, Eric Gall getting getting up to speed as quickly as he did in the tight end role. And obviously, he plays that more inline tight end role that is a more essential function of an NFL offense. So yeah, I think it might be that. But you put T in the slot, who could you put in on the outside eventually?
Andre Yoshivash?
The guy that needs to learn the playbook.
Trenton Irwin. Or, Shedrick Jackson?
That guy's not even employed by an NFL team. Is he?
Kendrick Pryor? Oh, you're talking Cole Burgess. My guy Cole Burgess. Put him on the outside, right? He's still on the team.
Cody Core. I'm just throwing out random receivers now.
Cody Core, I did appreciate that.
Josh Malone.
Oh, gosh. Now we're going to start having...
Why don't you say, oh, gosh? He won us the Colts game, I think.
Brandon Tate?
I can't remember.
My least favorite Bengal of all time. I just... Yoshi. And I feel bad because Mark's in here. And we know how Mark feels about Yoshi.
Seems like a great guy, by the way.
He does.
We don't hate Yoshi the guy. And I don't hate Yoshi the player. I think he plays really hard.
Yes.
I just don't think he's...
I think he's wide receiver 4.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think...
Do you get what... And you probably understand what I mean by that. I think he is a great 15 to 20 plays a game. I just don't think he's the guy that the Bengals need to be putting out there 40 times a game.
Yeah. That's why maybe trading for a receiver wouldn't be a bad idea if you're looking to buy the deadline and you're really bought into this team can make some noise.
I mean, here's the fact, Mick, too, and I know we're way too early to be talking about the draft. The Bengals will be drafting a receiver in the first and second round this year.
And second or first?
Or second.
Yeah.
Yeah. They will be drafting a wide receiver in the first or the second round. I would bet almost any amount of money that they do for that. Riley says Yoshi should have been in the role they're running T in right now. He's big and quick and should be dangerous in the slot.
Now, the problem is this receiver, you're talking about the receiver class in the draft. This receiver class is not that great. You got three or four guys that might be in the first round.
Travis Hunter.
I guess it depends on what Travis Hunter is going to end up being.
You've got the guy from Ohio State. You've got the guy from Arizona. Luka,
McMillan, T-Mac. Yeah, yep. T-Mac. Luther Burton. Isaiah Bond out of Texas.
You've got Barry and Brown. Dane Key from Kentucky.
Oh, Barry and Brown, we'll get him in the seventh round and just...
Listen, I would take him as a kickoff returner today. I know Charlie Jones just returned one. Barry and Brown has the SEC record for most kickoff returns. Okay, we're getting off topic. As a whole, Mick, how are we feeling? How are we feeling right now about this team now? We were talking before we went on air that for me, I'm now at the realm of... I'm just thinking of three plays, and I'm like, the Bengals are three plays away from being 6-1 and the one seed in the AFC. You know, they're a made field goal against the Ravens, a Tanner Hudson not fumbling the ball on the goal line away from beating the Patriots, and a Dejon Anthony penalty at the end from beating the Chiefs, and you're looking at 6-1. I get it. Yeah. We can't talk about that. They lost all those games. But how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good about the AFC side of everything, because I think we're trending upwards, whereas a lot of the other AFC teams, like in a realm that we are kind of trending downwards. I mean, if you're looking at the playoff picture right now, you got the Chiefs. We're not going to – they're 6-0. They're good. Texans are good. Ravens are good. Bills are good. So, I mean, I think those are four solidified playoff teams. The Steelers, I still haven't completely bought into them yet, but their defense is a top-five defense right now. But then you get these other teams that are kind of battling for playoff spots for those 6 and 7 seeds. You got the Colts. I don't know how the hell they're 4-3. Especially if Anthony Richardson starts the rest of the year, there's no way they're going to keep up that that winning percentage. The Broncos have surprised me a lot.
Just with
their defense. And then Bo Nix is just avoiding. He's game managing right now, which is not a bad thing. But I don't know if they can really keep it up. I think the Chargers are trending downward. us and the Dolphins are probably going to start trending more upwards as the season goes along. And then you've got the rest of these dumpster fire teams. You know,
the Browns,
the Raiders, the Jets.
Jameis.
J-Bo.
Jameis.
J-Bo has no wide receivers now.
He's got David Njoku.
He's got Cedric Tillman.
But, I mean, here's the thing, too, that and it's been one of these conversations that's happened a lot, is for the Bengals, they just need to be in the dance. Because if you were a team, like if you're the Chiefs, let's say the Chiefs don't get the one seed and the Bengals are the seven seed and the Chiefs are the two seed, would you be a Chiefs fan and be confident going into that game? Absolutely not. You would not be going, you know, hosting the Bengals in that. If you're the Bills, do you want to see the Bengals? No. If you're the Texans, do you want to see the Bengals? Probably not. That would be the one team that you would not want to see in any of those scenarios.
I would never want to see Joe Burrow in the playoffs.
No.
That guy knows how to win games. He just does.
He finds ways.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
To win. Bengals take on the Eagles on Sunday. It is whiteout, white tiger game, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Injury report for you quickly, Mick. Orlando Brown Jr. today in practice was limited with a knee injury. Limited is a very, very good sign. For one, he was diagnosed with what is called tennis knee, which I was that days old when I found out that that was actually a thing. Tennis knee.
Same.
What that apparently means is it's pretty much a calf strain, which sent me into a dark spot that I didn't want to go into on a Monday. When I hear calf strains, that's just a very dark, dark position. But limited is at least a good sign because they're going to need him. He is the one person on that offensive line that they really can't afford to lose.
Yeah.
And that's Trey Hendrickson did not practice today. That was for personal reasons. So hopefully everything is okay with Trey. And Geno Stone did not practice today with a shin injury, but they say that he could potentially play.
No broken bones.
When the play originally happened, I thought, okay, they just knocked each other's wind out. Because you see that happen where two players run into one another, they knock the wind out. And then the longer he was laying there, I was like, wow. Because, I mean, the hit was nasty, but it wasn't like, whoa. You know what I mean? Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah. It looked like a normal hit, I mean, to me.
And when they brought out the air cast, that's when I got very worried. Because that's season ending. And when they bring out the air cast, that could be more severe than even season ending for a guy like that, like Geno Stone. And has Geno Stone been great this year? No, not really. But
didn't
he was
have played, an interception.
Did played his best game of the season on Sunday against the Browns. And my biggest concern is without him, is who would have taken that spot?
Jordan Battle.
And then you're playing Battle and Bell back there, is and that's
like, see, I'm not too worried if Jordan Battle is being thrusted into action. If Bell or Stone go down, I mean, I think the front office did a good job of adding more depth to that safety position, and then Dejon, I mean, you know, still learning the kinks. He's a rookie, and then I don't know. You still got Tyson Anderson there, who
special teams ace.
At least he plays really hard, you know. So, but mm-hmm. I'm much more worried about the OBJ injury for this week than I am the Geno Stone injury.
Without question. I mean, because if you're listing your top five guys that can't get hurt on the Bengals, he's probably on that list. Because, I mean, Burrow.
Hendrickson.
Chase. And Brown. Would you put Chase or Brown first?
Probably Brown, honestly.
Yeah, just and that's kind of what I'm saying,
We're already down Trent Brown. I mean, you have just Cody Ford and Andrew Stuber.
And then I would probably then put on that list then DJ Turner / Cam Taylor Britt, not because they've necessarily been great, but it's more just they're running really thin in that room as well. And do you really want to throw out Josh Newton getting meaningful snaps, even though he's showed some decent signs?
Get Mike Abraham out there. You know, is he still on the team?
He is, shockingly.
Oh, nice.
Shockingly. he's on their practice squad. Eagles injuries, though, they've got some interesting ones as well. Zach Bond did not, all of these players did not practice today. Zach Bond with a shoulder. Mekhi Becton, who has been playing the majority of their snaps at right guard, concussion. Byron Young, hamstring, you know, defensive lineman. But the big one is Dallas Goedert did not practice today with a hamstring as well. Now, a lot of those, tomorrow is really the big day with it, as far as whether they will play on Sunday, but there are some names on that list.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much to read into them. They're also not very great players other than Dallas Goedert. And, you know, it's the tight end. They also have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith to throw to. So if Dallas Goedert's out, I don't think their passing attack is completely screwed.
Milano's
on IR.
He is? No, I would. That's...
I didn't think he was.
Where's your Mekhi Becton love?
I think Tyler Steen's probably better at this point, and Tyler Steen's going to be the one that's starting.
Yes, he is. He is on IR.
Milata's on IR.
Yes, he is. Okay, well, that's more news.
How much prep I do for this show?
Good job. I
had a whole note. I was like, oh wow, Hendrickson versus Milata is going to be a freaking, you know, this is going to be a great great little, you know, heavyweight matchup there. I don't even know who they're going to throw out now. It's that's good for Trey Hendrickson, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, right now, looking at their depth chart. Oh my goodness, the ESPN depth chart. Is that who I think it is? Oh,
Fred Johnson.
It is old friend Fred Johnson. Oh
so,
my goodness,
we got to figure out what the over under Trey Hendrickson sacks are, because
ever been said before, Mick?
That's spicy.
Has this comment ever been said before?
Riley's so smart.
Yeah, it's first time for everything. Yeah, Becton is playing right guard, Cedric. He primarily was a tackle. Yes, we do know that Riley just sits on his phone all day at work. My Facebook messages.
Oh, that is all he does. All he does is go on Messenger, message people.
Yes,
he doesn't actually do his job.
Send reels. Like, we can tell when Riley is in the restroom because it's just about five or six in a row with it. So Fred Johnson will apparently be starting maybe at left tackle for the Eagles on Sunday. For the Eagles offense, Mick, you mentioned a couple of the names. Let's start at the quarterback position, Jalen Hurts. I have an interesting stat here for you. It's one that you talked about with Lamar Jackson and the differences of pressured versus not pressured, which you could do this with quite a bit of quarterbacks in the NFL. But when kept clean, Jalen Hurts, 78.3% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. When pressured this season, 50.8% completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. If we're taking the PFF grade, when pressured, only 3 quarterbacks are worse. And I took 3 quarterbacks who have started multiple games. Yeah, like there's a list of some other guys. Only 3 that I would classify as a team's full-time starting quarterback have been graded worse when being pressured. Do you want to try and guess the 3?
3 that have graded worse when being pressured. Are these guys Correct. That are playing right now in 2024 or guys that are active?
This is in 2024. These 3 have started the majority of games at quarterback for all 3 of their teams.
Okay. Lamar.
No, Lamar's in the top half of the league.
Even when pressured?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. Well, not Lamar. Oh, shoot. Gardner Minshew.
No. He may have been on that list, but I didn't classify him in there. I'll tell you. Daniel Jones.
Okay, that makes sense.
Matthew Stafford.
Well, he can't move, so that makes sense.
And the worst one, Will Levis. Will Levis. That one hurt a little bit. That one hurt a little bit as a Kentucky fan.
What is wrong with that guy?
No idea. For what, in his, now again, he's made some awful mistakes, but that offensive line is awful.
Yeah, Bill Callahan has not turned this offensive line around yet.
Yeah, I mean, if it looks like duck poop and smells like duck poop, guess what it is, Mick? Probably duck poop. You can't polish a turd. He can only do so much. He's not a complete magician. Although he did leave the Browns, and the Browns were competent, and now they are incompetent.
Yeah,
with them. The other players that you need to know on this offensive line. Hey now, Mark. I don't know if that's a shot of what's wrong with him. He went to Kentucky. Come on, man. Like that's a low blow. Saquon Barkley.
It's a pretty solid answer, Mark.
Saquon has been really good.
Yes, he has.
The Eagles. 6.1 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns. And that's including one game against the Browns where he really struggled. But if you take out that game, he might be the offensive player of the year.
Yeah. No, this is the best season of Saquon's career. I mean, I don't think it really comes as much as a surprise when he's going behind the offensive line that Philly's throwing out there, which is still really good. Now, it might not be as good on Sunday if Jordan Mailata's an IR. That really shakes things up, you know, with their offensive schematics. But Saquon has been incredible. He's on one of my fantasy teams, the one that I'm in a league with Riley and Payne over here. And those guys. And Saquon's been pretty damn good for me. So, yeah, I like him. I wish we had Saquon.
Oh,
kind of cool. It'd be really nice to have him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I could live with having Saquon Barkley for the Bengals. Yeah. Fred Johnson, I'm looking here. He did start at left tackle on Sunday against the Giants. And how about this for you, Mick? 1 sack, 1 quarterback hit, 2 hurries, 4 pressures. Now, that was against the Giants, who, you know, we Bengals learned firsthand of what the Giants.
Thibodeau or what that would have been, Thibodeau or Brian Burns?
Burns, probably. Burns probably would be my assumption with that. A.J. Brown came back. He's come back from injury and has not missed.
Boy,
it's
hot. Yeah, he's hot right now. He's killing it.
He's played 3 games this year. And in those 3 games, averaging 5.3 catches and over 100 yards per game. That'll do. Yeah. That'll do.
20 yards of reception right now.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do. This Eagles offense is good. And it's the best. Well, I guess, what were you going to say here? Maybe the second or the third best offense the Bengals played this year. I don't know that it's better than the Ravens. Is it better than the Ravens?
I think it's the different. Receiver. I think the receiver group that they have right now, the receiver group and healthy, this is probably the best receiving offense that the best receiving core that they've played against this year.
I mean, you could make an argument.
Who are you making an argument for?
Well, I'm saying you can make the argument that the only wide receiver duo that is better than Higgins and Chase is maybe this one.
Oh, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think that's the only one that comes into the conversation as far as, I mean, those are the top two probably as far as wide receiver duos.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this is a, I think it's a really good offense. Now, I mean, like I've said like three times already on this podcast, if my lot is out, I mean, that, I think that really changes things for Jalen Hurts, especially when Fred Johnson's going to go up against Trey Hendrickson, who is back, who is 100% back. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to be the key factor in this game. But I think the receiving core is probably the best receiving core they've played so far this year. I think the rushing attack is just as good as the Ravens' rushing attack. They're probably, you know, 1A and 1B right now in the league. Jalen Hurts has had a down year this year, but you kind of got to put an asterisk next to how he's played so far, because I mean, he hasn't had AJ Brown out there for most of the season, and then Devontae Smith's missed a few games. So those are just a couple of things to note on the Eagles offensive side of the ball.
Defensively, a couple of by the numbers for you here, Mick, on the Eagles defense, because it's like I got some of these here where it's like whoa, and then it kind of shifts to the other side on some of these. It's kind of interesting. For one, they're not taking the ball away at all.
No.
They're last in the NFL with only two takeaways. Now, that's a positive because the Bengals offense with Joe Burrow
doesn't do that very often.
Doesn't necessarily turn the ball over, except they do sometimes like to fumble late in games and make me pull my hair out. But that's another take. Passing yards, or just total yards wise, net yards per attempt, 6 fewest. Now, the rush defense is the 8th most allowed in yards per attempt, which to me is a good judge as far as rushing yards.
Yeah. Record 24th in run defense PFF grade as well. Those kind of coincide with one another, I think.
8th fewest blitz percentage, which we talked about last week a lot because the Browns, or I guess it was Giants that blitzed a lot 2 weeks ago. 8th fewest in blitz percentage, but top 10 in sacks. And they're 5th in sack percentage. So that is percentage of times when the quarterback drops back that a sack is turning out.
What does that tell you?
The league in that.
Their front four is pretty good.
It is. It is. And that, to me, this game is the trenches.
Yeah.
Whichever trenches wins between the Bengals and the Eagles, who wins the game?
Yeah.
And I know you can say that about so many games, but I think you look at all of this and you see like, okay, wide receivers. We'll just say it's a toss-up. Running back, they have an edge, but I think their edge in running back is canceled out by the Bengals' edge in quarterback.
Yeah.
So you're seeing so much of this is just a toss-up in so many aspects, and that's where I think this is really going to come down to the Bengals' offensive line and the Bengals' defensive line. They have to play well to win this game on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I think, like you said, it definitely comes down to the trenches. I think our offensive line is going to have their hands full with the front four of the Eagles. You got players like Jalen Carter in his second year with an 82 pass rush grade, 21 pressures, 3 sacks, 12% pass rush win rate. Josh Sweat, also really good numbers, 76 pass rush grade, 23 pressures, 3 sacks, 18% win rate on the pass rush. Then you got other guys like Milton Williams, Moro Ajomo, guys like that who've played pretty well on that front four so far this season. And then I think that their defensive back room isn't that bad at all this season as well. It's not like, you know, the numbers aren't going to blow you away, but I think their coverage is still.
They got your boy too.
They do have my boy. And I still stand by, I would have drafted him in the 2023 or in the 2024 draft, because I think he's going to be that good.
Quinyon Mitchell is who he's talking
Mitchell,
about.
Yes. And he's playing pretty good this year. We got a 70 coverage grade right now, which is, I think it's pretty solid. Is allowing 1.06 yards per route ran against, 80 passer rating allowed. So I think he's played pretty solid. Then you got Darius Slay on the other side, who's also playing well. Cooper DeJean's been grading great. I don't have any more statistics on DeJean than that, but I think he has like an 89 defensive grade right now, or at least an 89 coverage grade. So Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a decent defensive unit for the Eagles. Now, if Zach Bond is out, I'm pretty sure he's the green dot guy. So does that hamper the communication on their side of the ball if he decide, you know, if it ends up that he's not playing on Sunday? So that's just another thing to note.
It is. It is interesting. We do get the Jake Elliott revenge game too, because that's something, right?
Whenever Jake Elliott. During the dead season, we should have a show of worst personnel decisions made by the Bengals in franchise history. Because that's got to be number one, right?
I don't know about that. I mean, listen, the Bengals did sign Antonio Bryant to a deal, and he performed in one practice. There have been quite a few that we could probably do. That would be a very depressing show. I think Bengals need a really good season for us to be feeling good. We can bring us back down to life with that. Is that okay with you? Like, I don't.
I mean, yeah, sure. That
dark hole, dark space. Anything else you want to talk on the Eagles? Or you want to move in to kind of wrap us up here and drop in some picks?
Let's wrap it up, man.
Bengals Eagles on Sunday. Bengals lead the all time series against the Eagles 9-3-2. The Eagles have never won in Cincinnati. Never won a game in Cincinnati. The game will be at 1 o'clock on CBS. Again, 1 o'clock. Remember, for some reason, they decided to flex this game out of 425. And I think in Jaden Daniels out too on Sunday. I don't think he's playing. I think he is out. So,
Mariota versus Andy Dalton. Oh, wait, no.
No, and versus Caleb Williams.
Versus Caleb Williams.
No, Andy Dalton, I know, is okay, but our best to him too for getting in a little fender bender, it looks like. But apparently he's not playing on Sunday, which is interesting because it didn't look like that crash was too bad, but still.
He might have played badly enough against the Commanders where they were like, let's just go ahead and see if Bryce Young can figure it out, you know.
Ian Eagle and Charles Davis will be on the call, as we mentioned. Your referee, do you know who it is, Mick? Did you see the poster?
Oh, you saw John Hussey.
John Hussey. Bengals 6-4. Eagles have, though, a really good record in John Hussey games. I think it's like 8-1 in games ref by him. Some notable John Hussey ref games. I know this is always your favorite part of the show, Mick. You ready? How about the Ryan Finley game?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Great game.
Oh, one of my favorite all-time Bengals regular season wins. Chiefs in 2022 at home, so the second regular season game. Rams Monday Night Football last year, and the Chiefs at Arrowhead last year, in the regular season game. So those are some of the notable John Hussey games. The ruler of the jungle is Angelo Dawkins, who's a WWE guy. I had to message Leroy, who is my... it is Ian Eagle and Charles Davis, Cedric. Angelo is a WWE superstar. I asked Leroy, who is co-host of a podcast, another one that I do. He's a big WWE guy, so I said, okay, this guy could walk in here and smack me across the face. I know nothing about this. And he described him as a B-tier WWE superstar. Now, Mick, what does that mean? I have no idea. But great. I hope he has the time of his life. He's from Cincinnati. Are you a WWE guy?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I'm not either. Make your pick. Bengals, Eagles on Sunday.
Well, I initially had a more dire prediction, but after, you know, getting the Shefty from Riley in the comment chat of Jordan Mailata, I think we're going to squeeze this one out. I'm going to go 24-21 Bengals.
Ooh, lower scoring.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do, Mick? I'm going to do something that I think is going to be a first on the now year two of Jungle Juice. Bengals 27, Eagles 27. Bengals, Eagles love to tie.
No.
They love to tie.
Two ties in a row against the Eagles. No.
It's going to happen. 27-27. The Bengals and the Eagles are going to tie.
Tie the team on Sunday. Every four years, twice.
They're going to make it a third. So I'm going to say 27-27. And if that happens, Mick, how will you be feeling walking out the stadium?
I'd be okay with it. That's fine.
I got a tie. I woke up this morning.
As long as this tie isn't because Mike Nugent misses a field goal that's like a 25-yard field goal.
Or Ryan Rico can't have a snap, or the long snapper gets hurt. And,
one of those things.
Mitchell Wilcox has to – it's Mitchell Wilcox, I think.
It was Mitchell Wilcox that did that.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Bengals win. 31-21, Robert says, listen, if the Bengals win that 31-21 – I think the fan base, what is that? Something just, what? Okay, my window is open and it's like a mayfly just flew in. How did you get in? Oh my goodness. Did you see it fly across the screen?
No.
I don't know where it went now. Oh my goodness. That thing was huge. Okay. Wow. Okay. Sorry. ADD now. And now I'm wondering where it is. Oh yeah, it's up there by my light. Yep. Go up there. Fly by the light. You're going to get it. That's a big one. Okay. Now, whatever I was saying, Mick, is completely gone. I got distracted. What was I saying? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't know. Well, that's for sure.
If the Bengals win 31-21, that would be Bengals fans would be feeling really, really good walking out of the stadium. Yes.
We need a win at home. We haven't had a win at home all year. There hasn't been a home game won in Ohio this season between both us and the Browns.
What a stat, Mick.
It's week 8.
What a stat.
No home game has been won in Ohio.
Oh, that is a depressing stat. That is a depressing stat. A depressing stat. But, Mick, happy anniversary,
blow
too.
Your knee fighting a
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. I ignore that. Tell your dad to watch out for those porta potties, Riley.
Oh, God. Okay, we got to get off the air here.
Mick, happy anniversary. Wish the best to your wife as well. Thank her for allowing you to be a degenerate on this podcast once a week. And make sure to share our wonderful earnings with her as well.
I told her she was really stoked.
Good.
Payment now. You know, we can use every dollar we can get.
Put a big dent in it. You did buy a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited?
We love it. It's really nice.
Good. And whose car did you get rid of?
Sam's.
Okay. So yours is still there. So she gets to drive the new one?
Yeah. I'm a little jealous.
I mean, listen, that's how it should be. She should absolutely do it. Is it orange? Mark wants to know.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. No. We look forward to seeing you too, Mark, for the Vegas game. Looking forward to it. Have a good night too, Karen. I'm looking forward to seeing your car, though. I'm sure I'll see it on Sunday.
You will. You will.
Are you parking it underneath?
Hell no. You've seen those parking. Wait, have you seen those parking spots underneath?
Yes, I've been in there a couple
Hell
of times.
No. No, never. Going underneath. Absolutely never.
That'll wrap up our show for today. Remember to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Hopefully the Bengals have a big win on Sunday against the Eagles. Remember, it is a 1 o'clock kickoff. For that, apparently you can take Lisa's car, Mark says.
Lisa's got an orange car?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's just giving away her vehicle without her permission. So it could happen as well. We'll see you next week, though, for next week's edition of Jungle Juice. Mick, Hude.
Hude. Thanks for watching.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly!